This is an advert from Jackson's Art Supplies, who provide a huge range of fine art materials for artists all over the world, and they are on a mission to demystify some of the problems artists have with their materials. Now, it can often be overwhelming to see such a wide range of art tools and materials on offer that you simply don't know which is the right one for you. So to help you out, Jackson's have a fantastic archive of in-house films and material guides. These feature everything from in-depth technical advice and artists' interviews, reviews of latest art materials, and manufacturer insights. It's a brilliant archive, stuffed full of the very best information. So the next time you're not so sure which materials would be the right ones for you, or how to get the very best out of them, then visit the amazing Jackson's online blog at jacksonsart.com. Hi, I'm Peter Keegan.
And I'm Tom Shepherd.
And welcome to Ask an Artist, the podcast designed for working artists and makers who are looking for tips and advice, ideas and strategies for not only making, but selling and promoting their work too.
We are delighted to welcome back David Poxon, who in this episode is here to talk to us all about the International Watercolour Masters event, which is taking place in May this year. This is a biannual event and it takes place over 10 days this year from the 15th to the 24th of May at Lillishall Hall in Shropshire. And it combines a world-class exhibition of paintings with demonstrations, live workshops, and for the first time this year, a live broadcast element. So without further ado, firstly, David, thanks for joining us again. We obviously didn't scare you off last time, so we're going to dive in. Maybe you could give us a little bit of context to kick off. If you could tell us a little bit of a journey about how you first organized IWM back in 2018, where the idea was born and what you were aiming for, because it's such a fantastic event.
Hello again, guys, Peter and Tom. Where was it born? Well, in my own art journey, I've been fortunate navigating upstream and being invited to lots of different shows all over the world. Some of them have been absolutely amazing and some of them better off not talking about them. Some of the best ones I've been to have actually been in China, usually very well organised in spectacular museum settings of incredible size and dimension. So it was back in probably 2016 that I was fortunate to be invited to Shanghai to take part in an exhibition which was in honour of the great Chinese master Zidan Shen from Shanghai. He himself had organised a kind of master's exhibition. The first one, I think, was in 2010, which I was also in, and 2012. This was a kind of retrospective on his particular work. And I was one of, I think, 12 or 14 artists who I would say are on the international circuit, a little bit like tennis players, and we tended to get invited to a lot of these kind of shows. So great show, great opening, fantastic venue, everything's first class. Back in the hotel bar after the show, and we're talking about our plans for the following year, following couple of years, swapping stories with fellow professionals. And I, at that time, had got, as it had been quite a while since I'd done a solo show in the UK, I'd got one planned for 2018 at a venue which was called Western Park, which is a beautiful historic house in Shropshire, England. And my plan was to have a solo show there in 2018. So I explained to the guys there, and one of the artists there, who's from Uruguay, Alvaro Castanier, and he said, you know, that sounds like it will be pretty good, but with me in it, it would be great. Alvaro was not shy coming forward. And I said, are you serious? He said, oh, yes, I want to come. I want to do it. And I thought, well, actually, it would be more interesting with Alvaro in it than just me on my own. No sooner had I thought that than the other guy said, I want to be in it as well. I want to be in it. So within 10 minutes, I'd suddenly got 12 or 14 people inviting themselves to be in this show in England. On the plane home, I thought, well, okay, it is quite serious. I better start thinking about it even now, and this was a year or so before it's supposed to happen. So I had to plan the show properly for 2018, which I did. I decided to have it as not just an exhibition, but also a mix of some live demonstrations to get the artists to travel to the show. I also organised some workshops, which of course is payday for the artists. It's guaranteed pay because no one's ever sure if someone's going to buy your painting or not. The Western Palm show, which was free to get in, was an incredible success. The problem was, because it was free to get in, neither myself nor Western Park, which has lots of visitors normally, could control the numbers trying to get into the gallery. I thought it was great because there were so many people coming, but actually it was a little bit uncomfortable. So it was clear to me that I needed a much bigger venue for the show if I was going to do it again. And also I needed to be able to control the people coming to the show so it was comfortable for all the visitors. And the only way to do that was to charge people. And that way we could have a certain amount of tickets. Once those tickets are sold, then the show sold out. So I sourced a new venue, which is Lillishall Hall. It's a much bigger hall. It's a fabulous venue for an art show. Beautiful maple floors, very high industrial ceiling, wonderful. Not only can it house the actual exhibition itself, which will consist of about 150, 160 paintings, they're not stuck on the walls around the venue. The exhibition walls are all brought into the venue and laid out in a kind of maze fashion in one half of the hall. The other half is for the live demonstrations, which take place. There's a seated area. People can be comfortable and sit and watch the live demonstrations, which are filmed. There's cameras above the demonstrating artist and in front of them, a PA system. And on each side of the demonstrator, there are giant monitor screens which will relay the proceedings so the audience can follow every brushstroke. Every day of the show, there's at least two, usually three, 55-minute demonstrations. They all happen at scheduled times, and lots of masters who are in the show will travel to the show, even though they're not necessarily doing demonstrations. A lot of them are. There's more than 30 live demonstrations going to happen. One way of looking at it is in the 17th and 18th centuries, 18th and 19th centuries, maybe even, the great English masters of the past, Turner, David Cox, Walter Langley, took the typical English watercolour painting to the world on their grand tours. We started it in England and we took it overseas. And people were fascinated by watercolour painting. And they took it up. So much so that in many countries around the world, particularly USA and China, they've developed watercolour painting to such a high degree, you would not believe what these people can do on paper. Part of the International Watercolour Masters mission is to bring us up to speed, bring our UK painters up to speed to show them what is possible. Paintings in the IWM show are world class and they're museum quality.
So David, I think it's very clear that it's a very extensive, very attractive to watercolorists and any artist or creative, I think, because there's a wonderful atmosphere there. One thing that strikes me is that, albeit quite organically and naturally, that the event was born, straight away it was a gigantic event. But I guess moving forward, you continue to attract literally the biggest names, the masters recognized at being the pinnacle of their art and their creative pursuit. So how do you go about collecting these people, or have they applied to you after seeing the initial event? How does that kind of work?
Well, the initial event and most of the people, the artists taking part in the initial event, were known to me and I was known to them because we were on this international circuit. Some people become friends and some people just become acquaintances. It's natural. And you get a feel for who's organised and who's not organised. And we touched on that in the earlier podcast. it's important with the show I do that it needs to be absolutely, totally nailed down and organized. And I need the people in the show to be also organized. I need them to turn up when they're supposed to turn up. I'm known to them, not just as an artist, but as an organizer, because we did the 2018 show and I've organized stuff before. So they know that in terms of the actual infrastructure of the organization, it does happen. It is real. And the paintings are presented to a very high presentation level. All paintings are framed. Frames are handmade by my framer that's been making my stuff for 30 years. He's a real craftsman. They're all behind glass. They're all presented correctly. The other thing is, because there's only one framer used to frame all 152 paintings, there's a consistency in the quality of framing in how and how they look. Everything is high class. Everything looks great. There's no expense spared. We want it to be look great, and we're trying to raise the bar for how watercolour paintings should be presented.
So these are painted, as you say, by some of the greatest watercolour artists there are across the globe. I mean, maybe you can tell some of us who are not familiar with watercolour artists, who are some of these great artists, and tell us a little bit about their work. Who are some of the real headliners?
Well, I think one of my personal favourites is the great Mexican portrait painter, Patricia Guzman. Not just a wonderful painter, but spiritually a very beautiful soul as well. She has an incredible philosophy on life, which is very gentle. And her paintings are, the subject material is usually Mexican women. And her depictions of them is just absolutely spectacular. I mean, I've tried to develop lots of my own techniques to replicate my subjects on paper. And she has been on a similar journey and developed her own techniques to portray the texture of weather-beaten skin tones on paper. Absolutely fantastic. Now, it takes her weeks to paint her exhibition pieces. But when she came to the last IWM, which was in 2022, and she did a 55-minute demonstration, awe-inspiring. It was incredible. So she's one, definitely, she's coming.
So to just home in purely, because you've mentioned Patricia, just to home in, how has she ended up being a watercolour master? Did you approach her? Did she approach you? You just knew her on the circuit? And then in general, how do you select the masters for this event?
Well, in Patricia's case, at one point she was a little bit of an organizer herself, and she organized a show in Mexico City, 2010, I think, which she invited me to, and it was great. I then met her again in China. We'd both been prize winners in the first Shanghai Biennale, and I met lots of other people there at the same time. So by being invited to these shows or entering these shows, you get to naturally gravitate to people who you admire, who you think have got something to say, who you can have some kind of empathy with, just like meeting anybody. And she was one of them. There are others in the show. Pasqualino Fracasso from Italy, who I've known for a number of years, a great painter from Aosta Valley. And he was on the circuit as well. Beautiful, loose watercolour paintings. He does, but still with a lot of depth and tonal range. And his subject material is very nice.
I think that's what's very apparent, David, when you look at the lineup, is it's, yes, extremely high quality, you know, top quality, but also broad as well in subject matter, but also approach, technique, attitude. You know, if you are into watercolor painting or painting in general, you're going to go to this event and find something there that is going to intrigue you, fascinate you, inspire you. You know, it's not going to fail to do that. I think you've already touched on it as well. Obviously, there is the exhibition, which in itself is fantastic, but it's interesting that you chose to bring in like the teaching elements, like the demonstrations and the workshops as well. And I just wonder if you could speak briefly about why you felt you wanted to do that and why you felt it was important, and also what you feel that brings to the event as a whole?
Creating any event, of course, you want people to come to it. With the workshops, of course, all the artists are practicing artists, so students pay to be on the workshops and the artist gets a portion of that, which pays for their trip. Airfares, hotels and everything else is not cheap and everything has to be paid for. So everyone hopes to sell paintings, but that's never guaranteed, of course. I think that probably 40% of all the people visiting the 2022 show were from overseas. It's a big percentage of people from overseas, yeah.
That's really big. That's really impressive.
Very impressive. So the Shropshire tourism, I've noted this. Now, I couldn't get them interested in the 2022 show, but I did get one of them to come, and they were just amazed at the number of visitors to Shropshire, not just from other parts of the UK, but from Europe and further afield. So this time, they've taken the event a lot more seriously.
I think it just goes to show the power of art. You know, if you get high quality artists, if you show work in the right environment, in the correct way that is presented, and if it's presented as you do in a very professional manner, in a slick manner, people will come, and they do come. They come in their hundreds, they come in their thousands to come and see such a great event.
The other thing I should say is that this event is constructed where you, the visitor, are the most important person there, not the other way around. So I have a team of people to be totally welcoming when people arrive at the show. They are welcomed properly, things are explained to them properly, they're shown around, they're made to feel like they're visiting old friends. And when they come into the hall itself, there's special lighting up in the high vaulted roof, which we can change the colour of, and we have a beautiful lavender colour that we use, which is a very relaxing colour, lavender, and some nice gentle music on the go, a little bit of jazz or Nora Jones, or something like this, something nice, and nice welcoming atmosphere. So as soon as people arrive, they just feel great. They will feel like they are in that special zone that we as artists inhabit, and that's what we're trying to give, present, and welcome them into.
I think that's great, and I think now's a good time. We're going to take a very short break. I'd like to tell you about a range of brushes from Rosemary & Co. that are perfect for those painters who wish to use a brush that has the feel of a natural hair but actually uses synthetic fibres instead. The Eclipse range of brushes is a synthetic collection that is made to mimic natural mongoose hair, one that is soft and smooth yet still has the rigidity to hold oil paint. How it feels? Well, it's a stiffer brush compared to the ultra-soft sable, but softer than a bristle hog. As such, these brushes are highly sought after for a la primer painting. That means artists who love working with their oil paints wet into wet, or working on a painting in a single sitting. The Eclipse range comes in the full range of brush shapes produced by Rosemary, including rounds, flats, filberts and fans in sizes from little number zero all the way up to a whopping 24. If you'd like to find out more information about these beautiful brushes, or if you would like to order your own free mail order catalogue shipped anywhere around the world, then simply visit the super website that is rosemaryandco.com. And the next time you make your order, make sure you let them know that you were sent there by Ask an Artist podcast. Welcome back to Ask an Artist with me, Peter Keegan.
And me, Tom Shepherd, where we are talking to David Poxon about the International Watercolour Masters event, taking place again in May 2024 this year. And we want to talk a little bit more about what some of the benefits of a festival from the artist point of view might be, because obviously an Ask an Artist, we want to drift into talking about the business side of things. We touched on awards in the previous episode very lightly, and maybe you could talk a little bit more about the potential career benefits of awards in general, and exhibitions where you are entering them more like a competition sense, anything along those lines.
Okay, so a lot of countries around the world have contests for artists. Local clubs and societies they're all contests as well. In fact, whenever you put a painting on a wall in a local art society, you're actually competing with other paintings that are on the wall. It is important in your artistic journey to challenge yourself and see where you are. It's true to say that most people do like receiving a little bit of recognition, praise, or winning an award. It's just a natural thing. And it does give you a boost. There's no doubt about it. I've been in a fortunate position. I've been received lots of awards and won lots of contests. And believe me, I've been rejected by lots of shows and contests as well and not made the cut. It's disappointing. It's upsetting when that happens. And a lot of people get put off entering another one. The thing to do is to blast through that. Keep going. Be persistent. Don't give up.
That's such important advice. I know in the first episode we chatted to you, persistence was definitely a recurring theme. And I think when it comes to awards, both based on what you've said and friends of mine who are artists and my own experience, it's just, although it's an incredibly personal thing, your art, you can't take other people's judgment of it too personally. You just have to keep going. And it's always finding that balance. I love the way you put it there, your sort of consideration maybe for aiming for an exhibition or an award, or entering at least, is some sort of challenge for yourself, taking a moment to put your art next to other people's, maybe many of whom you admire already, and just seeing where it kind of sits in the grand scheme of things. I think it could be easy to, again, fall into a negative mindset of judging your art negatively next to other people's. But if you can stay away from that, I can really understand what you mean when you say, let's put my painting next to some other people's and just see where it kind of sits. How does it stand? How does it feel?
Yes. The other thing is, I should say, is that we've all been in lots of contests probably and entered lots of things. And sometimes you think, well, how did that painting become a winner? What's going on? You sometimes get the feeling that it's not all as it should be. There is some kind of favoritism going on and it's not very pleasant. You want people's work, you want your work to be judged entirely on its merits. Now, with IWM, for both the 2022 show and the 24 show, I decided to put this right. So I decided we were going to run the IWM contest. And the IWM contest, you didn't win any money. Your work would be in the show alongside the recognised international watercolour masters. So you would be elevated to be one of them, at least for this show. But I didn't want one prize. I had 10 of those places available. 10 first prizes. You would be in this show. Not only that, but there would be another 200 people. Those top 200 are being shown virtually at IWM on a giant monitor screen running all the way through the show. So we've not just got a live show, we've got the top 200 also taking part. We ran the contest in 2023. There were nearly 3,000 entries from all over the world. To make it absolutely fair, an old friend of mine was a maths professor at Oxford University. And I spoke to him about it. I said, I want to run this contest. And I'd explained all the problems with art contests. I want this to be completely honest, above board, without any question mark. It's accurate. So he devised a scoring system and a numbers-based system on how many judges I would need to judge this show, depending on how many entries there were. At first, I didn't understand it, because I'm not a mathematician. However, I stuck with it. We had 24 judges for IWM. And these judges were a mix of, there was 19 or 20 masters who were in the show. And these people are all over the world. So they're not in direct contact with each other. They're not sitting in a room voting on somebody together. They're not talking to each other particularly. And even if one or two of them were, there's so many of them, that it gets lost in the mix. And I had two or three industry professionals. I wasn't a judge in this contest. I just oversaw it to administer it, make sure it ran properly. The vote started to come in, and I couldn't believe it. The judges, in the main, were voting for the same 10 people that won and the other 200. And it was just amazing. So you've got Patricia Guzman was a judge, so she's in Mexico voting, and similar scores, not all the same, of course, coming in from Fabio Cambrinelli, who's in the show, the most famous flower botanical painter from Brazil. He's in the show, and he's voting as well. Irrelevant to their own subject material, they're voting to what they think is great and which is worthy to be in the show, hanging alongside everybody else. So we have our 10 winners. We have our top 200. The paintings from the 10 winners, and of course they're not only honoured, they're incredibly delighted and excited to be part of the IWM 2024 show. They also get two nights hotel. They get invited to the Masters Banquet, all expenses paid, and get their painting framed to the same high quality as everybody else, hanging in the show with their name beside it. And nearly all of them are travelling to the show to take part. So that way, encouraging anybody in the world to have a go, there's a place for you somewhere.
I think that sort of underpins the ethos of the whole show is that, as you've already touched on, for both visitors and artists and then people in the competition, the words that come to mind are accessible, approachable and inclusive as well. So, it, as much as you can be given what you're trying to achieve. I guess on that note, have you got any advice or best practice for any artists who might be part of any festival, whether it's the IWM or any other one? I know you've spoken about reliability, but any sort of other ideas or best practices?
Try to go to as many live shows as you possibly can, whether it's in your local village, town, city, or wherever. Spend some time and you will make friends that will last a lifetime. Correspond with them, encourage them.
It reinforces that connection, is it? Because the whole point of this festival is that it is being in the room, it is being with like-minded individuals. Now, what's really wonderful about the festival this year, of course, is that you are providing an opportunity for people who cannot be with you live for a variety of reasons, but they can get involved with you kind of digitally. Can you perhaps tell us a little bit more information about how people can get involved if they can't visit? How can they do so instead?
Because we have to have the demonstrations filmed so that they can be projected to the live audience on these giant TV monitors, my very clever part of my team who does the web for me, we decided we would form IWM TV. IWM TV will capture all the live content throughout the 10 days and broadcast it live on a pay-to-view platform all over the world. At the same time we're doing that, we've expanded that. But we've got some pre-recorded content, which will also be on this platform. We will also do live interviews with the Masters. At the Masters Banquet, which is on the 18th of May, where the Masters will be there, and also the award winners and quite a few workshop students. It will be a big, glitzy affair. We will have the camera team there, and they will do edited highlights of that. So there'll be like a red carpet, just like going to the Oscars, where we'll interview people as we go along and make a big fuss of them, make people feel great. The edited highlights of that. One price gets you the whole thing, not just for 10 days live, but for 6 months after on catch-up. So you can watch it as many times as you want. You can follow along, try and paint along with the Masters. Just learn as much as you can and enjoy the whole spectacle. In my view, it's the Glastonbury Festival of Watercolour.
That's a great way of putting it. And it's a great way of saying for everyone to get involved, whether it's an opportunity in person or digitally. So, David, thank you for so much for sharing, you know, all this information. The final bit, can you share where can people find out how to join you live in terms of visiting in person, or if they can't, how can they find out more about getting an opportunity to join you digitally? And I suppose more importantly, where can they find out about the artists that are showing and examples of their work?
Our website is extensive, it's big, it's full of information. It's the internationalwatercolormasters.com. Shortcut for that is IWM2024.com. The masters are on there that are appearing in the show. There's a full schedule of daily events. You can buy tickets to the show. In fact, it's the only place you can buy tickets to the show, and you need to get an advance ticket in order to get into the show. The advance ticket not just gets you a view of the whole exhibition, but it also gives you the live demonstration. So it's really good value for money. There are discounts for groups of 10 or more. So we want as many people as possible to come. See you at IWM 2024. Don't miss it.
Thanks, David. Thank you so much. I wish you best of luck with the event. It sounds like it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic few days of watercolour painting. I know you're tremendously looking forward to it, and I know lots of other people can't wait to attend. So best of luck with it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, David. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much for all your reviews and your ratings, both on our website and on Apple Podcasts. They really do help keep the podcast visible and also free for everyone. We are absolutely delighted that Search Press is again sponsoring the podcast. They are the leading supplier of arts and crafts books here in the UK, and Search Press publish beautiful, very practical books that delight, inspire, and instruct artists and crafters of all skill levels the world over. You may remember the episode we recorded with Chief Editor Ed Ralph from Season 5. Extremely interesting. Definitely check it out. To see all of the wonderful books that they have on offer, please visit searchpress.com.